The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
Many people think the Bible narrative begins with Genesis 1 and verse 1. It does not. It actually begins with John, the Gospel of John 1 and verse 1. Let me read that to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that's the Logos, the Word, is the spokesman of the Godhead. That's what it's saying. But it says that He was with God. That doesn't mean place or space. It means He was with God the Father. He was becoming, in this very chapter, God, they were becoming the Father and the Son. And yet throughout eternity, the Word had been in submission to God, the one that became the Father. Now that's something critical to understand.
Now, how could the Word be with God and also be God? There are two different persons altogether. When Jesus was on earth, He prayed to the Father in heaven. There was a family relationship. He called Him the Father. He said He had not come of Himself. He spoke nothing of Himself. Of Himself, He could do nothing. He said the Father that sent Him gave Him a commandment what He should say and what He should preach. And He spoke as the Father had commanded and told Him. He said, I have kept my Father's commandment.
Some wonderful clips there from my father on the Key of David back in 2022. And then the second one takes you back decades to Herbert W. Armstrong, both of them talking about the Word who was with God, God and the Word. That's what we'll talk about on today's show. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. On this program, we carefully examine the only reliable source of information about Jesus Christ and His teachings. That would be the Holy Bible. We have to look to the Bible. And in the case of the four Gospels, you've got Jesus Christ, His biography. And in the case of John, to be more specific, the Gospel of John, you have the beginning of the Bible narrative before He came in the flesh as Jesus Christ. He was the Word, God and the Word. The Word was with God. My father writes, I'll give you a quote here, from the God Family Vision book here in just a second. This is the book we're going to feature on today's program. If you don't have a copy of this in your library, you'll be happy to know that there's no cost or obligation. Just call our operators, go to our website. There's various ways that you can order the free material. But this book really does delve into the subject of God and the Word. My father writes, the first verse in John's Gospel is about a time long before human experience, long before the universe, and long before even the angels. So this really and truly is the beginning of the Bible narrative. It's not in Genesis, as my father noted there. It's in John chapter 1. Notice verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So two beings are discussed here, God and the Word, and it's the Word who became Jesus Christ. And that word for Word there, capital W, is the Greek word logos, which means spokesman. He was the spokesman for the God family. God created all things through the Word. Ephesians 3 and verse 9 brings that out. Thayer's lexicon defines Word this way, the doctrine which He, speaking of the Father, commanded to be delivered. And the things spoken, or the message from the God family, these two were one. They were united. It's exactly the opposite of what you see so often in the world today, where we're divided. We're splitting apart. We're destroying. That's not the way it is with God and the Word. And they just want to give their way of life. That's what God's laws are. They want to give their way of life to mankind so that we can be happy and joyous and united together. One. You look at the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and all of them start basically with genealogies or the beginning of those physical details surrounding Jesus Christ's birth. And those details are important as well, for sure. But John's gospel, it delves deeper into the history. It tells us who and what the Logos is, the spokesman, the Word. It tells us that the Word was with God, that they were together. Here again, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the Word, or the Logos, refers to the one who later became Jesus Christ. You can see that in verse 14 of John 1. I don't know if we'll have enough time to get that far. We'll see. But it's also, again, spokesman, the meaning of it, as you can see there. From the beginning, this is a booklet my father wrote as well. It says, the expression "was with God" is defined by Lang's commentary as the Word denotes the most intimate and divine sort of relationship to another, the closest intercommunion. And he says there's other Bible commentaries that have a similar definition when they get into that relationship. These two were one. They were, as Mr. Armstrong said in that clip at the cold open, it was a family relationship. And you see that. You see that the moment Jesus Christ was born, Father, Son, this is my beloved Son. This is what opened up family to mankind. Jesus was just the firstborn of many brethren or brothers and sisters. That's what your Bible teaches. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans. Why aren't there more preachers that understand this truth, that teach the truth about the God family, that the fact that God is actually reproducing himself through family? You see that in Genesis 1:26, God introduces marriage and family in Genesis 2. And then, of course, in Genesis 3, you have the family of man rejecting God. Rejecting God's truth, rejecting God's Spirit, and God taking action to cut man off from the tree of life. Until the plan of salvation opens up to all of humanity, all of mankind, everyone who's ever lived. That's, I suppose, the briefest summary that I can give to you on God's purpose and plan. But here John takes us back even before that, before humanity, before the material creation, before the creation of the angels, God and the Word. Again, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's verse 2 as well. God's trying to take us back to the very beginning of the movie. John wrote in the end of the first century, so he had some decades there to think about the impact, the meaning of Jesus Christ's ministry. Christ had been crucified and resurrected from the dead for 40, 50 years by the time John wrote this. He emphasizes the beginning in 1 John chapter 1 as well. So much depth. John taking us back to even before the angelic plan. My father talks about plan A and plan B, what God had in mind for the angels before Lucifer led a third of them into rebellion. And then plan B, the family plan. The one where God risked everything for family. This is from the book, God, Family, Vision, page 3. Again, this is the book we're featuring today. You can order a free copy of it. There's no cost, no obligation. My father says here, that may very well be why God made it plan B, because it was so risky. The family plan was so risky because it involved Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, having to live a sinless life. He was 100% flesh and blood. He was given the Spirit of God from birth. But outside of that, he was like you and me, flesh and blood. And he couldn't sin once. That's why he poured his heart out to God in prayer and fasting. He prepared for that titanic struggle in Matthew 4 and Luke 4 by fasting. Prayer and fasting for 40 days to resist against the devil, to fight his adversary, to remain sinless, perfect, our perfect lamb sacrifice. My father says, imagine God, the one who became the Father, being alone for all eternity in the vast universe with 2/3 of the angels, of course, but nevertheless, without the Word, his only eternal companion. God and the Word, they risked everything. They risked that oneness, that unified relationship for you and for me, for the God family plan. On page 19 of this book, it says, this is plan B, and it's far superior to plan A, the plan that involved the angels, that is. Plan B, but always remember the incredible risk involved in this plan. What brutal suffering the Son had to endure. It had to happen. It was part of God's purpose and plan. To get into this much more deeply than what we can do on a 25-minute program, make sure you request your free copy of the God Family Vision. You can go to our websites or call the 800 number. However it is that you can request this book, just know that there's no cost or obligation. We'll be right back.
Get up to date with the day's most important headlines and learn how the Bible is ahead of the news. Watch Stephen Fleury's daily podcast, The Trumpet Daily. Live streamed weekdays at 11 a.m. Central Time, Stephen Fleury explains world events and where they are headed using Bible prophecy. He also hosts interviews with leading authors, journalists, and thinkers. The Bible explains world news happening now. You can see how. Watch The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Fleury. Bring the Bible into the news each weekday with Stephen Fleury at TrumpetDaily.com. Watch on demand at YouTube, Rumble, Roku, or your favorite podcast app.
I should have mentioned before the break, besides God Family Vision, also if you sign up for our free magazine, this one here, How America Became Great. We just passed the 250th birthday of the United States. What is it that made America so great in the first place? We cover that at the Philadelphia Trumpet. Tomorrow's news today, as we so often say. Let me take you to one more clip here from, this one is from my father's Key of David back in 2020, clip 3.
But it says that the Word was with God. That's not just a preposition there. That actually means that He was with Him and intimate with Him, and they were unified and always unified throughout eternity. Now that is the example that God and the Son have set for mankind. They're God and Son now. It was God and the Word. But now it's God and the Son. Even that God and the Word was a God family in that sense. But John 1 tells us when the God family began and God opened it up to many, many sons, billions of people. If you look at all the people that have lived on this earth, and those that are, don't know about the message of God, they're going to be resurrected and given an opportunity to know God and to see this vision the way it really is. If they don't get it this time around, God will certainly give them a chance, one chance, to make that decision to be with God. So it's quite an example here for humanity, but just think about all of the unity and the love throughout all eternity. God and the Son, God and the Word have never, ever had a fight or a brawl against each other. They've always been perfectly united. That in itself ought to tell you what's wrong with this earth. Look at the division all over the earth. Look at the hatred and the fighting and warring throughout the history of man. God says, He and the Word, and or He and the Father and the Son, never ever had disagreements as you see in this world. Never. And they were all united in what they wanted to do.
Perfectly united. And what an example. What a purpose and plan that God's working out here below. But what an example these two, God and the Word, have set for us. In Mr. Armstrong's book, Mystery of the Ages, he explains how God's law, or rather his way of life, became law, became commandments for our benefit, for our learning. It says, God's inherent nature is the way of peace, of justice, mercy, happiness, and joy radiating outward toward those he has created. And then he says, the Word and God lived. What did they do? They created. How did they live? What was their lifestyle? They lived the way of their perfect character, the way of outflowing love. When Jesus was baptized, God the Father said, "You are my beloved Son. You're my Son. I'm your Father." It says God loved the Word, and the Word loved God, obeyed Him completely. You see that in the example that Jesus Christ set during His earthly ministry. You see it before, thanks to John's gospel, you see it before the earthly ministry in that relationship between God and the Word. The Word was with God. They were together. They were perfectly united. He says here, two can't walk together except they be agreed. They were in total agreement and cooperation. Also, two can't walk together in continuous peace except one be the head or leader in control. God was the leader. Their way of life produced perfect peace, cooperation, happiness, accomplishment. This way of life became a law. Now you can see why Satan the devil works so hard to turn law, God's law, into some kind of dirty word, I guess. The law is bad. It's evil. It's old. It's outdated. It's so Old Testament. That's what many preachers say. That's not what God says. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't keep the commandments? You don't do what I say. You don't follow me." Paul, go read what Paul said about the law in Romans 7 and verse 12. The law is a beautiful and wonderful blessing. God wants us to be happy and joyous. He wants us to produce perfect peace and cooperation and accomplishment in accordance with His holy laws. God and the Word, now Jesus Christ, they want for us to live the way they live. They want for us to replicate God's lifestyle, to spread that cooperation, that peace, that unity, that love. God's law connects us to God because they are His lifestyle. It's the way they live, the way they think. And we, if we're faithful Christians, we follow their lead. Notice Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, it says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." That's the first and great commandment. Back to John 1, verse 3 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So God made all things, including the angels, through the one who became Jesus Christ. I mentioned Ephesians 3 and verse 9 earlier. Through Christ, they were in perfect agreement. They understood the plan, the purpose. They worked together. They were unified. In Colossians 1 and verse 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Everything originates in God through the Word, through Jesus Christ, one family, perfect unity, perfect love, an awesome purpose, an incredible human potential when you look at it from our standpoint. God reproducing himself, Genesis 1 and verse 26. In Genesis 1 verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The heaven and the earth. Here's what Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages. It says, "This originally was written by Moses as God inspired him. Moses wrote in Hebrew. The Hebrew word translated God is Elohim, a noun or name, plural in form, but normally singular in grammatical usage. It is the same sort of word as family, church, or group. One family consisting of two or more members, one church," and so on it goes. "It's referring to precisely the same persons making up or composing the one God as we found in John 1 and verse 1, the Word and God, and each of those two persons is God." So the Hebrew word for God in Genesis 1 is Elohim. And Mr. Armstrong, as I say, gives you a good definition of that word in his book, Mystery of the Ages, down in verse 26. I've mentioned it twice now. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Let us. You see, there's God and the Word. This is what God inspired Moses to write. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air." They were going to be given responsibility. They were told to dress and to keep the garden. They had to live a certain way of life. They had to be productive and fruitful and accomplish things. And they had God's law as their guide until they rejected it, of course. Genesis 3 and verse 22 says, "And the eternal God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and live forever." And basically, you can read the last couple verses there. It tells us that God had to cut man off from the tree of life. And that's the way human civilization has been going for 6,000 years. And to deny that fact is delusional thinking. Look at the world we're living in. I mean, you may think you're in a relatively peaceful neighborhood, but look around, turn on the news, look at how much hatred and division there is, look at how much violence there is, look at how much destruction we see going on. Back to John 1 and verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." This is John 1. Back to the Gospel of John, it says, "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not." This world is full of darkness. John chapter 3 talks about Jesus Christ, the light of this world, coming into this world as a light. And what did men do to Christ? You look at the first sermon that Peter gave on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, and he says, he's addressing this large group of people, elite religious leaders of the day and many commoners besides that. And this is 50 days after Christ was crucified, and he says, you all have crucified Christ. You're responsible. Jesus came as a light, but John 3 says men loved darkness. They rejected Christ, and we're all guilty. We're all responsible for his crucifixion. Verse 6, it talks about John the Baptist. Verse 9, that was the true light, again, now speaking of Christ, it says, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. What a statement. The world didn't even know him. The world rejected him. The world persecuted him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But then look down at verse 14. We'll just finish with this. It says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. God became flesh. To study more about this incredible, miraculous Plan B, make sure that you order a free copy of the God Family Vision. You can do it at our websites, and you can also call our operators. That's all we have time for on today's show. We appreciate you joining us and hope to see you again next time.
The Apostle John understood the God Family Vision far more deeply than any other gospel writer. John had an especially close relationship with Jesus Christ and wrote his gospel account much later than the other three, giving him much more time to meditate on these profound truths. Gerald Fleury's free book, The God Family Vision, explains why John's gospel is so different from the other three and what this unique family vision can teach us. Jesus Christ came to earth to declare his Father, the central focus of the true gospel message. This is the only message that will fill you with hope. It is the true gospel that mankind has never understood. It is about bringing God's government and peace to the whole universe. As far as humans can tell, the universe is limitless. So is God's family plan. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit lifeandteachings.com.